take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we do want you to speak. We know you do that through your word, by the work of your Spirit in our heart. So we do pray, Lord, will you speak? Shape and fashion us in Christ-likeness. And that's our prayer, that the light of Christ might be seen in us. What a great prayer as we begin this year and this special theme. But Father, we seek your blessing. We want to be useful in the Master's hands. We want to be faithful servants. We want to grow and learn and be better equipped. Will you work in our hearts? Pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our lives, our families, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme verse for this year's personal ministry theme, that's the phrase that's on the cover of your notebooks, working together with him, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 6:1. And I want to show you the context to show you that we aren't misapplying this phrase when we make it front and central in our theme this year. So look with me at the end of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So Paul says, in this letter, I am doing what God has called all of us to do. Work together with him. And my time is a little crowded this morning, but for a few minutes, let's think about that phrase as we kick off this new theme for this new year. We have the responsibility to be working. Ephesians 2:10 says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God has all the grace we need to abound in every good work. Colossians 1, we're supposed to be bearing fruit in every good work. 1 Timothy 2, godly women are supposed to be known for their good works. 1 Timothy 6, rich people ought to be rich in good works. Titus 2, we're supposed to show ourselves examples of good works. Titus 2, also zealous for good works. Titus 3, careful to devote ourselves to good works. Hebrews 10, stimulate one another to good works. Not any doubt in Scripture that God calls us to be busy people, to be people involved in his kingdom work. Every one of us has a responsibility to work with God. We are his servants is one way we express that. Luke 17:10, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. So even if our entire lives were packed full of faithful service to God, we would only have done what we ought to have done for such an awesome Creator and Redeemer. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, we are bondservants for Jesus' sake. 1 Peter 2, act as free men, but don't use that freedom as a covering for evil, but use your freedom as bondslaves of God. We are servants. And servant, you know, servant is not a title or an office. You don't get a name tag on your desk that says servant. Servant is a job. Servant is work. A servant works at what his master wants. And that's the responsibility of every Christian, to be zealously at work doing the things that matter to God. So does that describe us? Zealous, diligent about God's business, about good works. I think when most people hear the phrase good works, they probably think of like social volunteerism, which might be a good work. But when the Bible talks about good works, it's talking about Great Commission works. The good works that matter are the actions we take that are in line with God's purposes and what God is doing in the world. Our great mission is to testify of Christ, making faithful followers of Christ in all the nations, starting with the community in which God has placed us right now. We've got a responsibility to stay on our mission, to be zealously working for the mission to which God has called us. Have you ever grasped that responsibility? Claimed it for yourself? If you never have done that and began to seek how you should be a zealous worker for God, I'm praying that this will be the year when you go from being on the sidelines to being right in the middle of what God's doing in the world. This phrase tells us the responsibility. It also tells us the privilege. Will you pass one of these back to the back row, please? We have responsibility to be working together with God. But as I quoted David Livingstone last week, it is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it's a privilege. What an unbelievable phrase this is. This has been on my mind for several weeks. Working together with God. Who gets to do that? It's a privilege to be His servants. From the very earliest days of the church, they were gladly identifying themselves as bondservants of God. Acts chapter 4, they pray, "Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." You look at the letters that are written in the New Testament, and Paul and Timothy and James and Peter and Jude and John, all of these writers have at least one letter that they begin by calling themselves bondservants or servants or slaves of God. You know, serving is such a privilege that we're going to do it forever. Revelation 22:3, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the New Jerusalem, and His bondservants will serve Him. And listen to John 12:26. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Where'd that come from? Not one of us deserves any honor. Jesus says, "If you serve me, the Father will honor you." It is a privilege to be His servants. It's also a privilege to follow the steps of Christ, because God the Father called Jesus His servant, Matthew 12:18. Jesus took upon Him the form of a bondservant when He came to die, Philippians 2:7. In Isaiah, the title that recurs repeatedly for the coming Messiah is God's servant. Certainly, we're not stooping to be God's servants if Jesus was servant to the Father. But then thirdly, it's a privilege to be involved in the greatest work in the world. Workers together with Him, that means that God is working in the world right now. One of the reasons I'm eager to take some of you and get you to Hong Kong and China is just so that you can see that God's working all around the world. It's amazing to hear testimonies and learn that 10,000 miles away, 5,000 miles away, 2,000 miles away, God's working. He's bringing people to Himself for salvation. Through His sovereign authority, He's taking life circumstances and changing His people into His image. He's building local churches. He's freeing people from the bondage of their sin habits. He's rescuing marriages. He's changing lives. Jesus is building His church all around the world. And Matthew 16:18 says even the gates of hell aren't going to stop it. The most important thing happening in the world right now is the work God's doing. Making faithful followers of Christ from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He's doing it in every continent. He's doing it in every nation. He's doing it in Southern California. He's working. And He calls us to work together with Him. How do you do that? You're just a tool. That's what you are. He's the power. He's the direction. He's the purpose. He's the wisdom. We're just the tools. But what a privilege that is, to be a tool in the greatest work in the world as God shapes His church and His kingdom for His glory. I'll gladly be a tool in that job. But we're having personal ministry theme because God calls every Christian to be workers together with Him. God is so gracious that He uses people like us. And on day one, let's just go ahead and make sure you've got it settled in your heart. God uses people like you. Not just God uses people like you, but God calls you to be workers together with Him. Do you believe that? God calls you. It's a sober responsibility. It's an awesome privilege. So we will focus this whole year on personal ministry. And my desire is that every person in this church family would be better equipped, better motivated, and more diligent as tools in the work God's doing in the world. My prayer, in a sense, my goal, though we have another, you'll see in the definition we talk about tonight, another biblical goal. But my goal is that every one of you would get to the end of this year and look back over 2007 and say, God used me. I can't believe it, but He did it. God used me. It's my desire for our church family this year. Now, take the sheet that says 2007 plan. The shortest sermon you've ever heard me preach, wasn't it? Except I fooled you last week and you thought I'd preach the shortest sermon I'd ever preached. You remember that? Are you guys awake? Okay, get the sheet that says 2007 plan. Tracy's not here. She would be laughing. What? Okay, good. I want to share with you with some of the things involved, some of the plans. And I feel a little tentative about this because all this is only going to happen as the Lord allows. And we would all be glad if He would just come back today and we wouldn't have to do any of this. That would be a blessing. So, and obviously, anytime you lay out a whole year, you're an idiot because that's tentative and things are going to change and you're going to look stupid. But we're going to do it anyways. And things will change as we go along. But here's the general plan, Lord willing. I want to start by talking about Sunday nights because they are central for personal ministry theme. And I'm going to do it at the end. I'll do it now. I want to challenge you to commit yourselves to come faithfully on Sunday nights this year. They are at the very core of what we do for personal ministry theme. We'll continue having our two groups in our two locations. We'll continue our meals like we have been doing. But instead of working off the morning sermon, we'll be working through three different Bible study series together. All of them will involve some video and interactive things. We'll be starting with Don't Waste Your Life. Next Sunday, I'll be giving each one of you a copy of this book. I'll have enough for all the adults, probably all the teens, probably some of the kids too. And I strongly encourage you to read it together as a family. But even if you can't read any of it, come on Sunday nights and we'll be working through the content together. So starting next week and going probably through the end of March, each week we'll be working through a section of this book, watching some video that goes with it, and talking through this theme of not wasting our lives. This is a powerful, powerful book. It's a very challenging book. It's got chapters like risk is right. It's better to lose your life than waste it. It's got a chapter on making much of Christ from 9 to 5. How do you not waste your life when you spend 40 hours a week at a secular job? He's got a chapter that's a plea to this generation, the majesty of Christ and missions and mercy. He closes the book with a chapter called Let None Say in the End, I've Wasted It. So we'll start with Don't Waste Your Life, starting next Sunday night. Then immediately after that, in April and May, we'll be working through an evangelism training course that's based off of that Two Ways to Live track that you received a copy of in your notebooks this morning. There will be a study guide, an audio CD, and resource CD that I'll be encouraging you to get that goes with it. Somebody asked me what one thing I am most excited about this year, and this is it. This is a great tract. This is an excellent gospel presentation that is designed especially for people who don't have a Christian framework already. It starts with God and creation, and I think it has a lot of strengths. Anytime you put the gospel really short, you're going to have some weaknesses. But I'm very happy with this. I am very happy with the training curriculum that goes with it. And I think you're going to be really excited to see your own confidence grow. I think that you're probably, some of you are going to start this and you're going to be really nervous and really uncomfortable. And as we dive into it, you're going to get a couple weeks into it and you're going to start to say, I think I could do this. I really think I could probably communicate this to somebody. And pretty soon you're going to start praying that God's going to open the doors for you to do it. And So I put one of those tracks in your notebooks. You can start familiarizing yourself with that now. But in April and May, probably we'll be working through a training course based on this gospel presentation and using these tracks. Then the second half of the year, we'll kind of switch gears a little bit. We'll be working through a video seminar called Changing Hearts, Changing Lives. Excuse me. This is a series designed to help us understand, first of all, how God changes us. But the goal in that is to understand how God uses us in the lives of other people. How God uses us to see other people changed. So the evangelism training focuses on taking the gospel to unbelievers. This training course we'll focus on how God uses us to make a difference in the lives of other believers. I guess you could say the first training is in evangelism and the second is in discipleship, though I'm not a big fan of dividing it up with those words. But that's kind of what we're doing. So this series will be primarily on us as a church family, our interaction as believers with one another, and how God uses us to make a difference in one another's lives. So you can divide up Sunday nights for the year kind of like this. Don't waste your life, which is motivation and perspective. Two ways to live, which is evangelism training, and then changing hearts, changing lives, which is discipleship and ministry to one another. So that's the plan for Sunday nights in 2007. And if you will jump into this, you will profit immensely. And let me just clear up a couple things. Number one, this is not just for adults. There will be a lot of things in this that will be very helpful for teenagers and even preteens. You want your 13-year-old to go through the two ways to live training. You want that to pound the gospel into their heart and equip them. You want them to think about how God uses us to change other people and how God changes us. You want them to start thinking about, how am I going to not waste my life? How am I going to not get to the end and say, I've wasted it? So please don't think that these things are just for adults. Also on Sunday nights, we'll have activity pages each week for the little kids. I've got a new treasure chest of toys and food in my office. And so the kids who work hard on their sheet during Sunday night will get to go raid my treasure chest every week. And Mr. David just happens to have an identical treasure chest for the kids in his group. So Sunday nights are for the whole family. And I just encourage you to come. It's so easy for other things to come up on Sunday night and you just don't get there. If you don't make it priority, there will always be something else to take its place. And I'd encourage you with just little things like, if you weren't here in the morning, don't use that as an excuse not to come, because this is unrelated to what we do in the morning now. If part of your family is sick, don't use that as a reason for all of you to stay home. The rest of you come. I just encourage you to work hard and make it a priority, and you will profit immensely, I believe. All right, so that's Sunday nights. Next thing I want to talk about is the weekly sheet that you'll receive. In your notebooks, you got the first week's sheet, and I haven't come up with any fancy name for that sheet, so I'm calling it the weekly sheet. But if any of you has any great ideas, you can let me know. There's only that one lonely page in there right now, except for the handout you got today. But that will not stay that way as we go through the year. Each week, you'll be getting a new sheet to add to your notebook. And they'll vary some from week to week, but you can look at this week's sheet and see the basic categories. First of all, there's a key truth. We'll be highlighting 52 key biblical passages about personal ministry. So every week there'll be a key passage and some comments about that. Secondly, there will be a story. And these are stories about personal ministry. Some of them will be stories of people getting saved. Some of them will be missionary stories. Some of them will just be really simple stories of God using people and one another's lives. But every week, there will be a new story there to encourage you and challenge you and remind us that God's at work all around the world using normal people like us. So a key truth every week, a new story every week, and then ideas every week. These might be ideas about reaching out in your neighborhood, about getting involved in the lives of others, ideas related to missions, things you can do together as a family, resources on topics related to personal ministry. So this week there's only one. Some weeks there will probably be several ideas on one sheet. So every weekly sheet will have a key truth, a story, and then some ideas and resources for you. You see that this week's idea says at the top, bring it home. They won't all say that, but I put that there because this is particularly an idea for your home. And that's part of a larger burden I have for us to bring personal ministry home with us. Unfortunately, in Christian families sometimes, the kids come to church and they hear about evangelism and missions and all this stuff. And then they go home and there's never a word of it at home. And so there's this dichotomy in their mind between church and the stuff we talk about at church and reality at home. So part of my burden is for us to bring personal ministry home. And so I'll be sharing lots of ideas with you throughout the year, projects you can do together as a family, videos you can take home and watch together, lots of things like that. And these sheets you are receiving are part of that. Men, these would be a great thing to do for one night in family devotions. Maybe on Monday night, take the sheet that you got on Sunday, talk about the passage, read the story together as a family, talk about it for your family devotions. Just one of the things you can do to help bring personal ministry from church home. The next thing on your sheet is Go Nights. We are making a big change in what we do on Go Nights. They'll still usually be the last Sunday night of each month. But rather than going our own ways on Go Night, we'll be working together on Go Night this year. And we produced an evangelistic newsletter that we will be trying to distribute to every home in Menifee and beyond this year. I can't show it to you on paper because it's not printed yet, but I can show it to you on the screen. This is the outside of it, and this is the inside. These are all topics that relate to various age groups and are of interest to different kinds of people. But every one of these articles is just gospel. It's just Bible truth. This isn't like five fun things to do with your kids. This whole thing is one glorified tract. There's the one section on choosing the church family, but outside of that, the whole thing is all related to evangelism. And one of the very exciting things about this is that this section down here, this gospel presentation, this will be on the back page, of course. It's not the same as Two Ways to Live. We made this ourselves, but it's the exact same concepts as Two Ways to Live. We just pictured it a different way. So as we work through our Two Ways to Live evangelism training, you will be very comfortable with this gospel presentation. And our desire and our prayer will be that as we get together as a church family and go out on Sunday nights, that God's going to open up the door for us to be standing in somebody's driveway and flip that over and say, hey, let me show you, I'll just show you real quickly what our church believes the Bible says and work right through God's way or my way. That's the biggest choice anybody can ever make. So you'll have that right there in your hands as we go. And we'll just be sticking things on people's doors every Sunday night. I mean, on Go Nights. But taking every chance we get to talk to people. And I think that as you start to learn this, you'll be excited to share this because it's so easy, it's so clear, and it's fun to explain. And it's understandable for people. They don't need a big background of Bible knowledge or something to get what you're saying. And it's also easy to launch into. And we'll train you on this and teach you. But it's an easy thing to go from all kinds of different comments people can make to jump right into this and have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. So we'll be getting, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 of these newsletters over the next couple of weeks and then order more later as we need them. But that's what we will be using on Go Nights. They're 8.5 by 11, so they're big. All right, is that all I need to say about that? You with me so far? Anybody overwhelmed and just want to give up and leave? Good. I don't have exact dates for you, and I am still finalizing the plans, but probably in the month of June, we'll be taking a church mission trip together. And we'll be going somewhere in Southern California. I would tell you where and what, except I haven't gotten that other church's green light to give you the final go on that yet, so we'll just stay in the realm of theory. Somewhere in Southern California, we will go and help out a new church or a fairly new church that's getting started. And this won't be just like for teenagers or college students or something. This is for us to take our families and go. It's a church family mission trip. And we'll probably try to mix in a couple nights camping together or something too. But the main thing is for all of us to go together and do some great commission work and serve another church and see that God's working in other parts of Southern California. And so I'm working with a church and a pastor right now on the planning, and I'll give you more details when I know them. But June is what I'm shooting for, and I think we'll have a great time, and Lord willing, it'll just become church tradition, and we'll do it every year. And the way I'm working the dates and what we'll do, we'll make it very flexible for those of you who can't miss any days of work. You'll still be able to come be a part of the core of it. For those of you who can miss a couple days, so try to make it really flexible so that all of you can participate in church family mission trip. Next thing on your sheet says missions. Since God's mission for us is to make disciples in all the nations, obviously, one part of personal ministry is learning about other parts of the world, other cultures, other languages, other religions. And then, of course, we live in the melting pot of Southern California. Those things also help us be more effective in evangelism here. So several things planned, and these could change or be added to. But you remember, Jeremiah and Kari Pitts, who were here with us for Backyard Bible Clubs last summer. They are headed to Morocco. When they were here with us last summer, he thought he was going to have to sit out this year before he could start grad school to get his Teaching English, his TESOL degree, English as a Second Language, at University of South Carolina. But like a week before school started, the Lord just turbocharged that whole plan and got him into school there. And so they are very excited about getting to Morocco. And that's a, you can't go as a missionary to Morocco, obviously. Technically, Christianity is illegal to spread from one person to another there. And so they'll be with us in, I think, the second Sunday in March and be sharing with us the doors the Lord's opening for them in Morocco. And we'll also, related to that and around that time, do a lot of other things related to Islam. In the fall, Mark Lehman will be back with us to help us with Asian religions and the Chinese world. Also, Lewis and Ruby Kong are scheduled to be with us. I talked to you about them after I came back from my trip. He pastors Grace Bible Church in Taiwan, which is part of Hong Kong. And they're scheduled to be with us. I can't wait for you to meet them. Hong Kong is an unbelievable mission field, and they are a really special couple. And so really look forward to having them here. And they're both Chinese. I'm trying to get my father down here to do some teaching on Mormonism and some evangelism training with us. So all of those things, the problem is he's starting the church, so he's like, I can't leave. But we'll see what we can do. So all of those things relate to missions and our ministry to other people and the work God's doing around the world. And I'll be giving you other resources. You'll be getting handouts on things like world religions. I've got a bunch of videos for you to watch. We'll have a little library you can use this year. I've got a lot of book suggestions to give to you, just a lot of things related to the work of God in other parts of the world. And one of our prayers this year needs to be that God's going to start working in the hearts of some 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds and call some of our young people to the other side of the world for the cause of the gospel. The next thing on your sheet says sermons and teaching. In general, I'm going to continue the regular preaching and teaching schedule. We'll be doing Teachings of Jesus and Adult Bible Study and Back to Jacob's Life in our at our 10:30 service. But there are going to be several special sermons and Adult Bible Study lessons on things like evangelism, spiritual gifts, personal ministry within the church. There will be several special things that we'll be doing there. And then at the very end of 2007, we're planning to start a Bible Institute, which sounds a lot fancier than it really is. It just means that we'll offer one class at a time, either in the evenings or on Saturdays, and they will be classes for more in-depth Bible study on parts of the Bible, on theology, on counseling. A Bible Institute is just to help us be more equipped for personal ministry. It's just more of putting more tools in your belt to be more equipped and useful to the Lord. So you can take these classes to be more effective as Christian friends and counselors for other people. You can take these to be more effective in discipling your kids. You can take these to be more effective as like a Sunday school teacher or something like that. Men can take these as part of deacon and elder training. Anybody can take them just to learn the Bible better. I know that a lot of you would have loved to have been able to go to a Christian college and to Bible college. So part of what we're going to try to do is bring Bible college to you and give you that opportunity. We're just limited in what we can do on Sunday morning. Obviously, it's hard to get to the depth some of you would love to learn at in the time we have on Sunday morning. And we do some of that, but Bible Institute will give us a wide open door to really learn Bible truth on a new level. So that won't be to the very end of 2007 that we will start that. I'm putting together curriculum and plan and what the years will look like for that. All right, I'm almost out of breath and voice here. But we're not done yet. A couple other things in 2007 that aren't on your sheet. One is you already know we're starting monthly men's Bible study, and that study is on biblical leadership. Two is we are planning our first ladies' retreat at Camp Ironwood, April 19th through 21st. We'll have our first ladies' retreat, and men, you're going to have to dig in and work hard for a couple days while she's gone. But Scott, knock that off. Get rid of that face right now. Smile. Do a few dishes, cook a few things, change a few diapers. The truth comes out. Maybe we'll all like get in the same place and have an assigned diaper person. No. Anyway, man, you need to let your wives go to ladies' retreat. That'll be a real blessing, April 19th to 21st. Also, I'm not sure which Sunday, but some Sunday soon, we're going to start kids' choir during children's church. And let your kids try to help build our music program from the kids up and help them get over their nervousness of singing in front of other people and that kind of thing, and start to train them to sing correctly and start working with our kids. So soon, Adam and Christy are going to start kids choir. I don't know when the week's up to them, but I know they're eager to do that and eager to get started. So pretty soon during children's church time, at the end of children's church time, we will be adding kids choir and then have them in singing in some of our services for us. All right, I think that's everything. I'm going to stop and take a drink. You all can stop and take a drink too. Just kidding. Mark, we need water bottles for everybody next week. Now, I know I've said a lot, but if you think through these things, I hope you will see that I'm not adding very much to your schedule. I am not saying here are 10 new programs we're going to start and 10 more times for you to be somewhere doing something during the week. If you are faithful to come Sunday morning and Sunday night and then spend a little bit of time bringing these things home with your family, you will profit immensely. So I am not making your already busy schedules busier. And I've tried to plan this intentionally that way. Now, if you're able to do reading, if you're able to read, don't waste your life, and other things, you'll really profit too. But please don't be overwhelmed by this. I'm not trying to make you busier. We are trying to be more prepared, more useful as tools for our Master. And I'll challenge you with a couple things in closing. Number one, life is not about me. Life is about knowing God, loving God, and then living out the mission to which God has called us. So personal ministry is not an optional accessory for our lives. It's not like a bonus add-on or an extra level for Christianity. It is Christianity. Some of you are already well-equipped and busy in personal ministry, and I hope you'll jump in anyways for a couple reasons. One is because you can probably use the refresher course and the fresh motivations, and you might learn a couple things along the way. But the other is because other people in the church are looking up to you and following your example. And so for their sake, jump in enthusiastically and learn. If the most spiritually mature people in our church are the least excited about personal ministry theme, we're in trouble. So I want to encourage you to lead in your enthusiasm and desire for God to grow and change you. And ultimately, you will get out of this what you put into it. As it is with everything, anything in life. You will get out of it what you put into it. Your level of excitement and involvement will determine what kind of impact this makes on your family. Men, I really want to challenge you to lead your families in this. They will be as excited as you are, probably. They will be as involved as you are. And if you will step up and lead, I think you'll really see God do some great things in your family. And then finally, you know what I'm going to say last. Come Sunday nights. Start this week. This Sunday night is very important. I know we don't start Don't Waste Your Life till next week. But this Sunday night, we've got a really big question to answer. What is personal ministry anyways? If we're going to spend the whole year talking about it, we better figure out what it is. You've got a definition on the front of your notebooks. We're going to work through Bible study based on that tonight. So what is personal ministry? That's our question in our fellowship groups tonight. So I encourage you to make Sunday nights a priority. They are really core of what we are doing this year. And I've said that enough times, I need to stop. Well, let's pray. And as I pray, I will ask you to join your hearts with me. And will you pray and say, God, I want you to change me this year, and I want you to use me this year. Will you pray that right now? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you because you have called us to be zealous for good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You ordain beforehand these works for our lives. We want to be faithful to our mission to go make disciples of all the nations. Father, we want to be useful. Useful for the Master, like Paul told Timothy. So we pray those things. We pray that you would change us, that you would equip us, that you would motivate us, that you would teach us. Will you use us this year for your kingdom and your glory? Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.